Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. We have seven amazing shows to dive into for our 2024 season.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front-row seat.
See you at the theater!
Welcome back to the 2024 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on-site at the Fire Hall Theater. My name is Stephanie Graham, and I'm the Artistic Associate here at the Playhouse.
And I am Allison Hess, the Education and Engagement Manager. Welcome to our fifth episode of the 2024 season. Today, we're going to clothe ourselves in the shades of gray as we discuss doubt, a parable. Things are changing, much to the chagrin of Sister Aloysius, the prickly principal at the Catholic school in the Bronx. But when she suspects nefarious relations between a charismatic priest, Father Flynn, and a student, Sister Aloysius realizes that the only way to get justice is to create it herself. Doubt, a parable, is an exquisite, potent drama that will raise questions and answer none, leaving the audience to grapple with the discomfort of their own uncertainties.
Doubt is the second production this season playing in the Fire Hall Theater. We're lucky to have two of the designers for this play with us today. Set and costume designer Jawan Kong and lighting designer Christian Hiroshchak. Welcome.
Hello.
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 Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Jawan, Doubt is your debut at the Thousand Islands Playhouse, so we're excited that you've joined us for this play. You were most recently the set designer for Come Home, The Legend of Daddy Hall at Tarragon Theater, and the costume designer for A Poem for Rabia with Tarragon Theater and Knightwood Theater. I actually got to see Come Home.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was like like multiple level set, and it had all these ins and outs, and it was just lovely. It was such a cool experience. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And Christian, this is also your debut as designer at the Thousand Islands Playhouse, but you started your career working tech calls here when you were a student at Queens.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Congratulations, you're back. You have worked as an assistant lighting designer at Stratford and Fall for Dance North, and your architectural lighting design work has included exhibitions with Christian Dior, Singapore Zoo, and the Forbidden City. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So we have a really fantastic podcast audience who is so invested in how theater gets made. And I think it'd be really interesting before we jump into anything specific about Doubt to talk a bit about how the process of design works for both of you, because I think there's sometimes a standard process, but everyone has their own way of going about designing, whether it's for costumes and set or lights. So how does the process work? Like, how do you even start? Maybe we'll start with Christian. How do you start your design process?
Well, really, it starts with reading the script, if there is a script. And I just sort of like to read through the entire thing, not really take notes during, but then at the end, I'll just write a few ideas, what stood out to me, what I think the motifs are about the play. And then from there, I just try and connect with the director and try to find out what they're trying to say with the play, why we're doing it. So that kind of helps steer me in a direction to do some research. And I just look for research all over. Light is something that's everywhere. So inspiration can be, you know, sitting in your kitchen and just the way that the sun falls through the window could be inspiring. Or maybe it's going to an art gallery and just looking at the way different painters use light in their paintings and finding out what I think the language of this show might be just through the visual world around me. And yeah, using art as a big reference.
Oh, that's very cool. Because I feel like sometimes, you know, we're like, oh, we'll make sure that the actors can be seen. And then in terms of the artistic aspect of the design, I think is so important to talk about because you're right. Like, it is so much more than just making sure we can see the actors. So I think that's really cool. That's awesome.
And some plays are just about seeing the actors. But when you can actually find a narrative arc to the lighting, to try and make a statement with it, I think that's where you have the best collaboration with directors and other designers. So I always just see how I can kind of serve the play with certain motifs that can be communicated through light.
I love that. What about you, Jawan? What's your process like?
Probably very similar to Christian. So always start with the script and text. And I also don't try to research beforehand too much. So I don't know about the playwright, I don't know about the play, and I don't look for other productions, how they've done it, because I think that first impression when you first time read the play, that's just for that time only. Mm. And sometimes it's very important. Just you can get more intuitive, and sometimes you don't really understand 100%, but then those like little snapshots of images or moment that appear to me, then I grab them. And then after the first read, I read it again and maybe do some scene breakdowns and dig deeper into it, and then try to find out the technical things about the design, what needs to be done. And if I have any questions about the play or to the artist director, and then go to the library and collect all the visual images. Yeah, so I start very vague, and then you kind of try to cut it out, and then sculpting with other designers and with a conversation with the director.
I think that's so special to be able to, you just acknowledge like reading the play for that first time and not allowing any other influences coming in. I think that's just so special that both of you have that idea. That's just let whatever comes to you first, that first read through.
And that impression from the first read, sometimes it disappears during our process, or sometimes it's forgotten, and then it comes back later after everything is finished. And then I kind of remember, oh yeah, actually that was my first impression. It's still there.
Those beautiful first artistic impulses.
Yeah.
Instinct is so important in design. You often just spend so much time overanalyzing things that you move further and further away from what is the core of the piece. And just going back to those very early just scribblings that you might do after reading the play can sort of help clear a lot of that. Just everything that's been applied onto it to find the core again. It cleans the slate.
Right. Mm. How do you approach designing set and costumes differently? Or do you?
No.
Well, great.
Yeah. In the beginning of process, I approach the same way. So sometimes it depends on which play I'm working on. Sometimes the characters or their psychology pops more. And sometimes the atmosphere and their physical place pops more. And I just, yeah, very freely just feel everything. And then about in the middle, then I start to be more specific and analyze their characters, their psychology, and what kind of costume will be better for them, or what location and how we can create these physical locations. But then in the beginning, yeah, I start very openly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you enjoy doing both so you kind of have a large picture of how the costumes and the set work together, or does it matter?
Actually, I really enjoy do both, because you can have a balance. If I put this my expression onto the set, then maybe costume can be just expressed this much. Yeah, when I do both, then it's really, I can see the set and costume as a whole picture.
Yeah, and like the balance between them. Now, Christian, now we said it in a bit of your bio, but you also, as well as lighting design for theater, you work in architectural lighting design. Can you tell us a bit, like, what is architectural lighting design, and how is it similar or different from the design work you do in theater spaces?
I could speak to the specific type of architectural lighting I do.
Sure.
Which is really lighting exhibitions. Mm. So think art galleries, museums. So I kind of fell into this during COVID when there was no theater work, and I was looking for some way to vary the one thing I know how to do, which is lighting. And I found that there is this innate theatricality to the way that exhibition lighting works. You know, it's similar to a theater. You get an empty gallery that then is populated by curators and other designers. And really, in lighting it, of course, in the way that we have to light actors and make sure they're visible, you have to light exhibits, you have to light paintings, you have to light sculptures, you have to light whatever is on display. So there is this similarity between the two, in that I'm always thinking about the narrative arc as people move through the space.
Oh, cool.
And what sort of atmosphere and what mood you want to create. And that often comes from the curators, in the same way working with a director in theater. They have their vision, and it's trying to have that vision come true. But I specifically think about the audience's path and how the different rooms in an exhibit can either grow or tell some sort of story that's related to the curatorial narrative that they were trying to share with the patrons of the museum. It's different because it often exists in a very static way. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are some dynamic parts of these exhibits, but very often you sort of, you walk in and you might look at a mummy and you're going to look at that mummy and the same little lights that are cut to it. And there's a lot of specificity with certain lux levels, which is just the intensity of light. It needs to be at a certain point to make sure you don't damage anything. Mm. But then in the world of theater, I don't have to worry about, you know, exactly how bright this item is or that item is. I just get to sit down and look at the entire stage and think about how we can communicate the story through light and how it changes over time. Like, what I really love about lighting design is creating or playing with light over time. The way that there's a natural breath to everything, how you move from scene to scene and the beats within it. That's what I really, truly love about lighting.
I think it's so such an interesting thing. You know, as artists during the pandemic, we all found other things to do. And for both of you, has that those experiences in those things that we had to do during the pandemic influenced or made you look at the work you do in theater any differently?
I think I've become a much better collaborator with set designers, actually, because in a lot of exhibition work, you're always integrating LED strips everywhere to try and create just more depth to spaces. And it's really sort of upped my ability to communicate with someone like Juan and say, actually, I think we should try and integrate lighting here and here, and we'll figure out how to story that with the director throughout the piece. So yeah, it's been beneficial in some ways.
What did you do during the pandemic?
I stayed in Montreal because we graduated.
You went to NTS together?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Since then, we worked together for a couple of projects. And during pandemic, I just stayed in Montreal because the rent was much cheaper. And I didn't, and didn't want to come back to Toronto.
Very true.
Because if I were come back to Toronto, that means I had, that time my parents were not retired yet and they still had a convenience store. So that means when I come back, then I have to go back to work.
Good choice.
So I don't know if the way I work has changed, because that's when actually I just graduated and didn't have too much experience. But I just remember, and I talked about this to Christian the other day, that during the pandemic, I really sat down because I was feeling a little bit anxious. What's going to happen to theater? And I just graduated. Like, what can I do? But then I was thinking about, because before I go back to theater school, I was just mostly working in retail. And it was okay. But then still, I just remember I was not too happy. So I just thought to myself during the pandemic, if I could do work in art and theater, and maybe not as abundant as it used to be, but maybe one or two projects, or just working as assistant or prop maker, whatever. But if I only could work in theater, and I have maybe second job, but I will still be happy, happier than before.
I feel like for a lot of artists, like as Steph said, one, there was no work, and so you had to think about what you can do instead. But I think two, it also made everybody look and say, do I want to do anything else? Would I be happy doing anything else? And I think some people said, yes, I would be, and went on to do something else. And then other people like you, Jawan, were like, no, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And it kind of helps you through those hard times when you're like, I know that this is the thing for me.
So, yeah, it defined your path even more.
Oh, that's great.
I started freelancing with this architectural firm during COVID. And then once theater came back, I did a bit of theater. And then I thought to myself, oh, maybe I do want to try this architectural thing full time. So for the past year and a half, I was doing that full time. Mm-hmm. And then the only time I really felt true creative satisfaction was when I took time off to do a show. Mm. And I left that job about a month ago to go back into theater. Mostly full-time-ish, but still a bit of freelancing in the architectural world.
Oh, that's good. That's a great balance.
Yeah.
You can kind of dip in when you're like, oh, I miss that.
Exactly.
And try it. That's awesome. Doubt is the second production in our Fire Hall theater space. And for those listening, we have two theaters on site here at the Playhouse. We have the Springer Theater, which is a standard proscenium theater where you might have seen something like Mamma Mia or Sound of Music. And our Fire Hall space is a smaller black box space, which are a lot more malleable in terms of design, in terms of seating. So the question for both of you, and it could be a yes, I do, or no, I don't, or I have a preference, but do you have a favorite type of theater setup to design for? Like, you know, there are pros and cons for each of them. There are challenges and things that are more simple for both. But for something like a proscenium stage or like a black box, or even in terms of the setup, you know, like a thrust stage, which is the audience around three sides, or in the round, or an alley where audience is on two sides. Do you have a preference, or do you find one more exciting to work with than something else?
I think it really depends on what kind of play and what kind of story we like to tell. But as a designer, proscenium is more like there's my set in the front. Now you just have to look at it. and sometimes I like that. And if it could be a very big theater that with all the mechanical and possibilities flying in and out and things come in and out. But then it's really interesting to see other seating configures because that creates very different dynamics between the actors and between the audiences.
Yeah, I agree with Jawan. What I love about a proscenium theater is the level of control you can have as a designer. Mm. You can sort of craft the perfect picture that everyone gets to see in the same way, more or less. But I think I actually prefer working in black boxes purely from the intimacy that they offer. You know, like being able to get everyone really quite close to the performers on stage, I think really creates that communal feeling that we're all craving, right, when we enter a theater. I have an affinity for alley staging. I think there's something really wonderful about looking onto this stage that has a lot of length to it. I think it offers a lot of creative possibility in playing with just the latitude of the stage picture. Mm-hmm. But then also having the audience on the other side just really, I think, humanizes the art form itself.
Right. So you're not just necessarily watching the performance, the actors, but you also have the opportunity to see how other people are reacting to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you're all, and then you also are part of that as the other side of the audience.
Yeah.
People are seeing you.
And I think as a designer, I would appreciate any kind of settings and every seating configuration and stage is different. But I think as an audience, and I would definitely would love other than just proscenium setting. Mm. It's more fun.
I agree. I think, you know, going into a theater or seeing a show that you've seen in a proscenium and then seeing it again in a differently configured space, I think sometimes changes the play because you have a different relationship with it than it being just in front of you and you're taking it in proscenium style. Mm-hmm. I love seeing the same play in a different configuration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I think is even not alley seating, but even just being in a black box and being so close, it really emphasizes the relationship between the performers and the audience and the importance of it versus, you know, sometimes a proscenium, people can kind of almost think like it's a movie, right? Where it's like they're happening there and I'm here and I'm not really a part of that, which they, of course they are, but I think it's so much more immediate for the audience when you're in that black box space.
And I think there are more design opportunities available when you can think about the full theater space itself beyond just the stage. So I think what a black box can really offer is having the architecture come alive of the venue itself.
Oh, cool.
You know, can the lighting not just light what's on stage, but can we light the walls of the theater? Can we find a way to bring the audience into the show as much as possible so that it happens all the way around them?
Oh, I love that.
Can you two talk about your collaboration between one another on this play specifically? What was your collaboration like?
Because our director, Lisa, had us have a meeting together since like January. Mm-hmm. And she included everyone, but especially myself and Christian. So it's been really good. So that from the beginning, when I was showing Lisa some visual inspirations, and when I didn't have any idea, but just like dumping some images to see their reaction and responses. And Christian was there all the time. It was just so great because I could see Christian reacts to certain images and he explained and I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to go for that. You know, I'm going to give you the space and set that you can tell your beautiful lighting story as well.
Yeah, so much of lighting design is related to the space itself, to the world that the set designer has dreamed up. And as much as we can collaborate early on together, we can find a cohesive language to tell the story. Mm. Which I think we've really found through this process. Yeah, we've usually, I'm actually not involved in nearly as many set meetings in a process. So often I just sort of join at the end,
right,
and I'm given, hey, here's the set design, here's the costume design, light it. But what I really love about working with Jawan is there is this constant back and forth that starts very early and continues when we're in tech. Like, I want to get her impressions on what I'm doing. Is this how she imagined it? Or is there something that she thinks is missing from our previous conversations, just so that we can get to that common place at the end together, which I think often leads to the strongest design.
Yeah. The way we dream and we see the magical storytelling, it's, I feel, yeah, the way we think is very similar in a way. But we'll see how.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of theater, right? It's such a collaborative art form. And the more, I think, the more the entire team, you know, who knows if I have the best idea, but I want to connect with my set designer or lighting designer. And we all make this thing together. And I think it's just an amazing part of theater in general. And for our audiences, just to note that the Jawan and Christian went to theater school together at National Theater School. So how long have you known each other? And do you think that that also influences how you work together?
Yeah, I think we would have started in our first year together, which I think was 2017. Mm-hmm. Jawan was in the scenography program, so costumes and scenic design. I was in the production program, so lighting, video, sound. And yeah, I think our first production was
Love and Information.
Mm-hmm. And we just sort of fell in love with each other's, mm-hmm, I think, aesthetics slowly. And it's been growing over many projects.
But then that time I was doing costume. But then when I was watching previews and show, I was like, oh my God, Christian's lighting is so beautiful. I think since then, you know, in my head, Christian is a good lighting designer.
But yeah, that's great though. And again, because what we do is also those personal relationships, and that we feel more comfortable even talking to each other in the production process. I think that's wonderful. Yeah. It's just great.
So Doubt is originally set in 1964 and has been updated in this production to integrate some elements of the present, which I think is really interesting. And for both of you, does time and place affect the way that you design, and how does it affect the way? I mean, maybe costumes is the most obvious, right? Because you're trying to set something based on fashion and based on the time period. But even for set and lighting, does that affect your design at all?
For costume, for sure. But then, so we wanted to make Mrs. Muller kind of timeless being. So a little bit of vintage, but then her way of she dressed could be now or then. And Father Flynn, we wanted to add some more contemporary accessories so that he could express his character as pretty progressive and contemporary priest. And the nuns, I just took out very obvious 1960 costume, like a bonnet. Mm. But then the way hasn't changed much. But then contemporary now, they have more freedom in their habit, and it looks more casual. And it's more about the comfort.
How comfortable it is.
Yeah, yeah. But then I still wanted to keep for the other nun to see her character, like a longer and fuller habit. And as for set, I don't think it didn't do anything with time, because it's not really saying which location it is. But then I was thinking that set design is kind of reflection of what their inner struggle, their inner mind of these characters, and also for the audience. Because I'm sure they would feel, is it this or that? And if things are not certain, then as we human beings, very our nature that we feel unsettled, we like to know, right? So that moment was reflected on the set design.
Well, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that it pulls in the whole idea of shades of gray and doubt and and gives that to the audience so they're feeling it even when they enter the space.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah,
well, in my lighting design process, often in my second read through of the show, I'll just do a scene breakdown and write, okay, like, It's an interior, exterior, what time of day is it? All these things that are useful to just give specificity to a scene. But then it really depends on the process. And as our design conversations furthered with Lisa, we moved into abstraction with the scenic design. Oh. And through that, finding the specificity of time and place wasn't as important as getting the tone right. So there still is an honoring as to where things are taking place, but really it's about capturing the tension of a moment and how we can balance that with lighting so that the audience understands what's going on in this very minor way that they often don't quite notice, purely atmospherically. And that's kind of where we've shifted. So I'm not trying to light an office in the 1960s with how I might imagine that. I'm really looking at the character who occupies that space and what I think the atmosphere they live in would be. Mm-hmm. And that's how I pursue lighting a scene for this show.
How exciting for our audience.
I know.
I feel so excited about this production now.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So one thing we always love to do at the end of our podcast is ask about your time in Gananoque. So for both of you, I know, how have you enjoyed your time in Gananoque? Have you, you know, gone to any great restaurants or any place in town that you've been really enjoying while you've been here?
I haven't been to many places yet, unfortunately. But then I found this little cafe-looking bar that I went on the first day I arrived when the other designers hasn't arrived yet. I found this amazing small bar. So I really recommend.
Oh. Yeah. And what's it called?
Bar Petunia.
Bar Petunia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's been a real hit with a lot of our guests this season. So yeah.
And it's not weird if you like to go alone. It's okay. So it's like, yeah.
Love that. Yeah. And the people who run it are lovely.
Yeah.
Very chatty and nice. So that's great. Thanks.
Well, I do love Bar Petunia. Tremont brought us all there last night.
Oh, lovely.
Which was a lovely introduction. But my favorite thing has really just been going for my morning runs around town. I discovered this sort of a loop you can do all the way around town. There's like a trail that goes, I think, from like the dump to the rec center, sort of in the north end. And then you can run past the No Frills. There's another, which is my favorite stretch, just beautiful trail that kind of goes through this like swampy area. And it spits you out like in the southern sort of suburbs. And then I run by TIP, down through like the marina out west. Swing Bridge is closed, unfortunately. Extends the runtime. but then just loop back up the top. And I love just, you know, seeing all the herons out in the morning. And
it really is a beautiful place and a part of Ontario, southeastern Ontario.
It's stunning here. Yeah. I need to do a cruise before we leave.
Yes.
I think that's what I've learned.
Highly recommend.
Definitely. Yeah. Awesome.
You're very lucky to live here.
Yeah, I agree. Especially in the summer, it's just stunning.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. So fun. Thanks a lot.
And thank you, as always, to Mark Hunt for composing the music for the Playhouse podcast.
Yay, Mark Hunt!
For more ticket information, visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com.
See you at the theater!